Well, welcome back. Hello. Welcome to the Producer Joe Show. Appreciate you dropping by here. I hope you enjoyed my last guest, Mark Christopher Lawrence, actor, comedian, producer. That was a lot of fun. Super nice guy. If you haven't already, please click subscribe on the YouTube channel. You can also pick this up on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Podcasts. And we're just having a good time. A lot of fun still to be had, which includes today. Today, my guest is Brian Perry. Brian hosts a weekly show, drops it every Friday on YouTube. It's Disney Jeopardy. It's something my wife and I stumbled upon a couple years ago, and we watch it every weekend religiously. We'd never miss an episode. And so with that being said, let's bring him on. Hello, Brian.
Hey, Joe. Thanks for having me.
Hey, man. I appreciate you coming on here.
How much do I owe you for saying you watch it religiously every single weekend?
I already sent you the invoice. I'm hoping that you would have gotten that email by now.
Must be in spam.
It's probably in spam. Yes. How you doing, buddy? I'm glad you're here. We are such big fans of yours. You've got a modest show there, and I say modest, but I think you've got millions of subscribers, which I'm not quite there yet, but maybe one day. You must be very, very proud of your baby.
Yeah, no, it's been a fun ride. You know, I the whole Disney Jeopardy thing came about because I worked for Disney for 6 years and was one of these people. You know, whenever you work for Disney and you meet fellow cast members, you kind of discover within a month, are these people who are already tired of it, or are they, you know, Disney people who are going to talk about it nonstop for the next 6 years or however long they're there. I was in the latter half. After the 6 years ended, I kind of had all this useless Disney knowledge in my brain, and I was like, I got to get it out somehow. And I said, hey, let's try trivia. And it kind of took off. That first episode did really well. That was, I want to say, February of 23. So we're going on 2 years now. We just had our 100th episode, and yeah, it's been a fun ride.
Yeah, we're going to dive into that 100th episode. We did find out you worked for Disney. What was your role? Because she and I really thought we had you pegged as a character. We thought you were Gaston.
Yeah. I was hired. Originally, I was hired just working at the ESPN complex in 2013. I did that as part of the Disney College program for 3 months. Then I came back a year later, and I was a performer. I was a character, but Gaston was not one of my guys. No. Instead, I was what we like to say friends with both Captain Jack Sparrow, Prince Naveen, and a bunch of other random characters in the Disney bubble. And yeah, that was a ton of fun. But Gaston, no, he and I were not very close. No, I like to impersonate his voice sometimes, but that's not has nothing to do with my Disney growth. There it is. Exactly. Hey, you should do it.
That is kind of one of your trademarks there. You're very structured, which is something that I like, being how I am. I love structure. And that is exactly what your show is. It's pretty much, I mean, the content changes, but your show is pretty much the same. You wrap it up with some catchphrases. And I love that because I never click the next video until you do your spiel, which I love.
Yeah, it's funny. Repetition. I mean, I think once you have 100 episodes, you know, under your belt, it's kind of, you force it into people's brains, whether they like it or not, the hello bells.
Sure. No, you know, and when it comes to working, I think we both have our own lives, you know, and like by day I'm a welder, I run a steel shop, and nice. And then by night I am a podcaster, you know, but it's fun having that mixed, you know, and I see that you're wearing a New York Rangers sweatshirt.
Of course.
There.
Right. Yes.
And first of all, I need to tell you that it's probably going to break my wife's heart because she's a Los Angeles Kings diehard fan.
Wow.
So,
hey, good for her. It shouldn't break her heart. She should have some sympathy for me. It shouldn't break her heart. She's gotten to see, they beat us in the finals and all that. But yeah, like you were saying, we, you know, finding that balance in what we're passionate about, what our jobs are, is a key in life, you know, and that's kind of what I do also working for the Rangers.
Sure. Now, for the Disney Jeopardy, you just had your 100th episode. I mean, 100th. That's pretty awesome. And this your graphics, your chyrons, everything is just spot on. So you obviously have a knack for production value.
Thank you.
So do you have anything you'd like to add to that? Where did you learn it?
Yeah. So my background is, it's funny. It was not in Disney. It was always grew up wanting to work in sports broadcasting. Went to college, Montclair State University in New Jersey for broadcasting, interned at a bunch of sports TV stations. And that's, again, where I kind of honed my craft in terms of production and graphics and all that stuff, video editing. And then I saw a flyer in a college class one day saying, hey, you want to go live at Disney World for 3 months? And I was like, sure. And then, you know, 10 years later, I was still at Disney World doing things that had absolutely nothing to do with sports broadcasting. I came back to New York. And then, again, now finding the balance, working for the Rangers, work a little bit for MSG Network, which is the Rangers and Knicks channel up here. And then, again, had to get that useless Disney knowledge out of my brain by doing Disney Jeopardy. So it is finding that balance. But, yeah, all the graphics and all that all comes from a sports broadcasting background. So if you are a sports fan and happen to watch the show, then you might catch a couple of kind of Easter egg kind of things that I'll throw in there that – that are definitely for that strange demographic of an audience of sports fan and Disney fanatic. I know we're not the biggest group, Joe, you know, you and I, but we do exist out there.
Well, you know, we are fans. Like, this was a couple years ago at Disneyland. And,
nice. Awesome.
My wife and I, we were blessed enough to go to Club 33. And
wow. Good for you.
It was incredible. My wife was crying. She was,
I'd probably be crying with her.
She made me, I mean, we got to Disney bound as up there.
Yeah, so, totally. The balloons and everything. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's great. That's original.
You know, it's only an hour 20 up the freeway here. It's a nice place to get away to. And we are pass holders or pass holes, as sometimes we are referred to.
Have you done Orlando? Have you done Walt Disney World?
Nope. I have never set foot in Florida, and it's something that Amy really, really, really wants to do. And I'm like, I'm kind of a creature of habit, and I get a little bit nervous when I step outside my box, you know, but I'm sure we'll go because it gives me a little anxiety. She goes, oh, well, it's like a 5 or 6 day thing because there's so many parks, and I'm getting like overwhelmed. Like, oh my gosh, this might be too much for me, you know?
Twice the size of Manhattan. That's Walt Disney World. So it's definitely a completely different animal than Disneyland, but highly recommend because you guys obviously are big. I mean, just to be annual pass holders in the first place, you're big Disney fans, and it's like I said, completely different animal. But once you're on property, you know, it'll feel very familiar, even though you haven't been there yet.
Was that a little pun right there? Different animal, Animal Kingdom.
Maybe a little bit. Maybe throw in a little something. You know,
I like that. So, a question that my wife did have for you is the Disney University, and I believe it's actually called the college program, Disney College Program. Can you tell me a little something about this?
Yeah, of course. So the Disney College Program brings in kids from not only the United States, but all around the world to work at both Walt Disney World and Disneyland. You can do the college program out there. You go down, you live at Disney for a semester, you earn credits for doing it, for legitimately just working a job at Disney World. And if you want, you can enroll in collegiate level courses at Disney University, which can earn you even more credits, which is something that I did. And I proudly earned both my master's and my doctorate's degree, which I have, I should frame them. They're not framed. I should put them above my bachelor's degree. I'll put my doctorate's with Donald on it. But yeah, it was the best thing ever. I mean, the Disney College program gives, again, kids from all 50 states, all around the world, the opportunity to go legitimately live at Disney World in college housing right off property and just work one of hundreds of jobs, anything from custodial to performers to attractions to transportation. You go through an interview process. And again, if you do want to be a performer, you have to audition. But if you don't get the audition once you're already down there, then again, you can work any of the other jobs that they offer, which is what I originally did, working at the ESPN complex down there.
You know what's kind of funny is people on the outside, they're like, Disney, blah, blah. But as you just explained, you know, Disney is much more than just parks. They do look to help people in their careers and set people in the right direction. And I'll tell you what, when it comes to cleanliness, because I can speak to this, having worked for SeaWorld for a couple of years, SeaWorld San Diego,
okay,
immaculate park up here. I can only speak for Disneyland, but there's just something, you definitely get your money's worth when you go to a Disney park.
Yeah, no, it's something that they pride themselves on. You know, you go in, I was lucky enough, my fiance worked in Shanghai Disney for a little bit. And I went out there and it was the first year of operation. And you could tell it was like mainland China's first experience with a Disney park. And they were kind of trying to figure things out. And it wasn't as clean as Disneyland or Disney World. And it was kind of jarring. And it wasn't even that it was like that dirty. It was just, it makes you notice like, wow, you never even see a cup on the ground at the Magic Kingdom or California Adventure or anything like that. So, yeah, I mean, every attention to detail at the Disney parks is kind of what separates them from everyone else.
I mean, it's kind of funny because diehards like us, we know the couple things about trash cans. A, Walt never wanted two trash cans to be more than such a part. They wanted to make sure there's an ample amount. And they double as tables. We eat on trash cans. So
absolutely.
A lot of people are like,
No, not there.
They're clean.
That's right. That's right. I got to say, maybe I'll start bringing a tablecloth just to make them look prettier. But for the most part, they're clean. And if you ever do go to Walt Disney World, head to Epcot. And with all the countries out there, I mean, they really are. They are the standard table over there because everyone's got their little dishes and there's got to be hundreds of little tables all throughout World Showcase. So, yeah, I mean, just the cleanliness of the park and, again, the attention to detail is just bar none.
This is a good segue here because you mentioned that your fiance in Shanghai and everything. How many Disney parks have you visited?
I have been blessed and lucky enough to visit all 12 on Earth. Yeah, it was 2017 was quite a journey. I went to I have been to Disney World, Disneyland, the six parks in the United States. A couple friends and I had gone to Paris that summer in 2017, not for Disney, but since I was there, I was like, well, when's the next time I'm going to be here? I'll head over to Paris. And at the time, she was working in Shanghai. So then a month later, I went and visited her in Shanghai. And then we went to Hong Kong and Tokyo. And that's your six resorts, 12 parks. And yeah, I mean, they're all so unique. They're all awesome in their own way. And I do think that Hong Kong is the sneaky candidate for best individual park. But I'm probably the only one who's going to say that. But I think it's very underrated. So,
well, being a Southern Californian, to me, it would be really hard to beat the OG right here. You know,
that's fair. And I will say, I do think Disneyland is the best park here in the United States.
But not the best castle, right? There's a lot of...
probably the worst castle, no offense. It's the original, so it can't be the worst. But yeah, no, the other ones... Actually, Hong Kong had almost an identical castle. And then when Shanghai opened this gigantic castle, they kind of got a little jealous. So they redid their castle. And now they have a bigger one, too. So Disneyland does stand alone as its own little cute, you know, 20-foot tall thing. But it's cool. You know, it's cool.
I think it's pretty great. And a lot of people don't know. And I think you spotlighted this on your show is the inside the castle. You can do the walkthrough of Sleeping Beauty. And a lot of people just walk right by that. They don't even know about it. It's so discreet.
Yeah,
it's
totally
pretty cool.
Yeah, and it's kind of crazy down in the Magic Kingdom. It's in Orlando. It's the number one attended park in the world, and there's no attraction inside the castle. There's a restaurant, but if you see this castle, one of the most iconic images in all of Disney, and there's really nothing you can do in it other than just eat at a restaurant if you're willing to pay the exuberant price that it costs to eat inside Cinderella Castle.
So you just had your 100th episode. Tell me how that went. It was really fun. It was broken down into four quarters.
Yes, they had a little sports for you. You know, had some NBA buzzers going off and all that. But yeah, no, it was, you know, I had to do something different. 100 episodes, almost 2 years. wasn't really sure how I could change it up that much. And I said, all right, well, I guess we'll just do 100 clues. Each episode is normally 26 clues. And this one, I figured you're only going to have 100th once. So we did 100 clues. But yeah, I did have to splice it up into four quarters just to kind of give people a chance to get away, because 100 clues in a row might have been a little much. But it was a lot of fun. You know, I was able to bring back categories from the past that a lot of people have liked, like my terrible drawings, which somehow became a category that people requested. You know, like I mentioned my fiance before, she's quite an artist. Yeah, she's quite an artist, but she doesn't have people asking for her to draw things on YouTube like yours truly. So that's a lot of fun. It was a ton of fun. So I guess we did what, 20 different categories, 100 different clues, and it was a big deal. And this was actually, so I haven't done an episode. The show does return, I'll say, January 31st, which is this upcoming January 31st, the Friday. It will be on Fridays again. And this was the first time I hadn't done it in a couple weeks. So after 100 episodes, it took a two, three weeks off. But we'll return January 31st, not with 100 clues, back to 26. But
yeah, your layout is great. I mean, it's classic Jeopardy. Still don't know how you get away with using the music and the logos, but you did mention the sketch that you're an artist, and you did send it out to one viewer, and I will be hitting you up. I would love to get one and hang it right here.
That would be an honor, Joe. Yeah, well, I'll work on something for you. A little original piece.
Yeah, no, that would be cool. So another fun thing about you is you wear a different shirt pretty much every week. You also have a store.
Yes.
And
it's
pretty cool.
Yeah, thank you. The Bunny Eclipse shop on DisneyJeopardy.com is where we have our different shirts and different merch. All kind of things that are, you know, something that a non-Disney fan might not pick up on, but like kind of an inside joke for all Disney fans. Whether you're a park fan, there does seem to be a divide. I'll say that also. I'm definitely a park person over movie person. Love the movies, seen every Disney movie. But again, my background with Disney is the parks. And sure. I noticed when I'm making these shirts or even episodes, there is a big divide. Too many park questions, too many movie questions, you know, and it's hard to please everyone, but we try to. That's why I do one park category every week, because you know, unlike us, a lot of people are unfortunate enough to go to the parks as often as we do. So I do understand that side of it, but I have to include the parks. You know, I can't just not include the parks. That's where my passion lies. So
no, and that kind of leads me to one of my questions, but a statement here is that you're very receptive. Like I had messaged you a while back and said, hey, it seems to be kind of like leaning towards the Florida parks, and you opened it up. I see it. You have included Disneyland, quite a bit more, and I'd like to take full.
It's all you, Joe. That's all you. Yeah. You take all the credit you want for that one.
Yeah, because sometimes we're sitting there because we haven't been to Florida. We're like, I don't know, I love it.
It's again, yeah, it's a balance. I mean, with Disneyland again, I love Disneyland. I like it more than the Magic Kingdom. I'd include it even more, but then the flip side argument would be that, hey, well, they've got four parks and they've got bigger attendance, meaning more people go over there down to Florida. So again, after 100 episodes, the balance should be pretty close, but we'll try to even it out a little bit in the next, hopefully 100. That's the plan. Hopefully 100 episodes gets to episode 2.
Nah. I love it, man. Now, there's some side videos that you do. Mm-hmm. You do the Inside 300, where you talk about Disney topics in 3 minutes or less. Would you like to talk about that for a moment?
Sure, yeah. So that'll be coming back probably beginning of February, too. It's on a bit of a break as well. But Inside 300 ties to the sports broadcasting background. I work at MSG Networks. We do something called the MSG 150 right there, which is during a New York Rangers intermission or New York Knicks halftime. In 150 seconds, you go around the NBA, go around the NHL, tell them what the scores are in the other games. I was like, how can I tie that into Disney? All right, well, we'll do 300 seconds or 3 minutes now of the biggest Disney news stories of the week. and kind of put a little sports music behind it and that kind of thing. So if you want to get caught up on all your Disney news in less than 3 minutes, Inside 300 comes out every Wednesday. It'll be coming out. So,
and unfortunately, it's usually topped by some idiot climbing out of a boat and climbing into a ride. And,
unfortunately, those videos do the best.
Well, we had one here with the Small World Naked Man.
Yes, I remember doing that. So, yeah, he was making his way through It's a Small World. There's always one. There's always one every couple of months. You'll get someone climbing a castle. You'll get someone climbing the Matterhorn. Someone walking naked through It's a Small World, whatever it is. I mean, you know, considering the attendance these parks get, one out of every million, maybe it's not that bad. But
not bad.
It is unfortunate most of the time.
I can tell you that my wife is absolutely obsessed with that ride. It's her favorite ride. Probably next is the Tiki Room, Small World. And I, you know what? I can kind of understand why that guy wanted to climb out of a boat and get the heck out of there. I can kind of buy into that.
I think I made that comment. I said the last time I went on Small World, actually, I remember I was like sitting there and it was much longer, Disneyland's version. I was like, this is much longer than I remember. I'm like sitting minute 15, 16, whatever it is. You know, maybe the thought may have crossed my mind to jump out, but I didn't, unlike this guy. And nor did I take my clothes off like that guy. So that was a little different, you know, but if there was a ride to do it on to jump out, not sure I completely blame him.
Yeah, I got a couple bits with that one. Whenever we're about to go to Disneyland, I'll be like, oh, hey, Small World is closed. Oh, darn it, you know, nice. She's not
4 hour
anymore.
4 hour wait. What a shame. Yeah. The Small World. Yeah,
really. Or I don't know. But anyways, so I would like you to tell me what is the worst attraction at Disneyland and tell me why I disagree with you and that it's the Main Street Electrical Parade.
you're an Electrical Parade fanatic?
This is where you and I have a serious divide. Here's a divide. That's a sound from my youth. That's a vision that I can't get out of my head. And to me, it's one of the greatest things ever. And whenever you mention that on your show, Amy's like, calm down.
Makes the blood curl. Hey, look, here's the thing. Look at that. So here's my question. Was that picture taken in 2024 or was it taken in 1977? Because I can't tell the difference.
Well, isn't there something to be said about consistency?
There is. Totally. Now, here's my thing. Here's my thing about it. It's not that the parade itself I have an issue with. My issue is the taking it away and then making a big deal every time it returns for the 50th time, for the 55th time, for the 60th
time. You mean like the McRib?
Like the McRib. Exactly like the McRib. And you know what? The McRib sells well. So I guess I get it.
It's pretty good too.
So Paint the Night. You've seen Paint the Night? Love Paint the Night. Feel like it's a nice evolution from Electrical Parade. Also, the Electrical Parade, in my mind, I look at it as a Disneyland thing. If it wants to stay at Disneyland, that's fine. It kind of came and went with Disney World. It's not coming back to Disney World. We have a new parade coming down there soon. I don't know. I don't want to say it's run its course for me. I totally get the nostalgia aspect of it. Space Mountain, 1975, my favorite roller coaster Disney's ever built. So I have no problem with the nostalgia aspect. It's the taking it away, bringing it back like it's a brand new thing every time, taking it away, bringing it back. Just leave it at that point. That's my thought process. Just leave it. Let it be a staple that you can see every single time you visit Disneyland.
They want you to thirst for it a little bit. They want you
you to miss it. Yeah.
You know, another thing I forgot to mention is I told you right about 20 minutes, my ADHD starts to kick in. One thing I missed is one of your side videos is your GeoGuessr. Oh, my gosh, that's a terrible image.
Yeah. I'll send you a pixel, a better resolution one. No, the GeoGuessr is fun. The GeoGuessr is fun. It's something I literally randomly discovered. I was on the GeoGuessr website. I was like, I wonder if you could just do Disney World and find out, you know, where you're placed or whatever. And sure enough, you could do it. And then I started doing it on YouTube, and it did relatively well. The only thing with that is there are only so many places you can be. And now I've done five different episodes. I believe that one, yeah, you're on a specific ride, so there's a different twist to it. But it is fun. If you're a Disney Parks person, check it out, because you're essentially trying to guess exactly where you are. And I try my best to make the places hidden in terms of, you know, they're zoomed in or something like that. And you have to identify what ride you're on or what land you're standing in, stuff like that. So again, more Disney trivia. I think everyone who's a Disney fan likes Disney trivia, proving their friends that they are superior to them in Disney trivia. Competition is always a fun thing to help create.
Yeah, it is a lot of fun. And I have to be jealous of your park for a certain degree, because you still have the People Mover and
greatest ride ever. Greatest ride ever. That's what I say. Yeah. And that's that, you know what, Joe, it bothers me too. Every time I'm in Disneyland and I walk through, it's like they're throwing it in our face. Just knock down the structure then. If it's just going to be there, just knock it down, because it's insulting for us to walk through it and see it up there. And just, it's not even used for anything. That's what's crazy about it. Make it a walkway or something. Make it a nice little park, elevated park or something, if you're not going to use it for rocket rods or anything. Devastating. Yeah. That thing is not running. And you know what's even crazier? When you're on the monorail at Disneyland, you can look out and you still see like the track right there.
Yep.
It's insulting. Yep.
You feel me?
Yeah. You know I think I have a People Mover shirt, actually. That's how, you know, it's how sick in the mind I am for the People Mover, but I'll be honest.
Yeah, speaking of shirts, I meant to mention that our favorite is your Haunted Mansion shirt.
Oh yeah, so that thank you. That one's old school. That one's almost 10 years old. Was originally sold at the Haunted Mansion in Magic Kingdom. I don't know if they ever sold them over in California, but yeah, it was they sold it briefly while I was on my college program. My friend and I, roommate and I, bought them and hadn't cracked it out for about 8 years before Disney Jeopardy. And I was like, yeah, this is a kind of cool formal shirt to wear. So that's that.
Well, if you ever auction that off, we're going to be first in line.
Good to know.
So with your categories, your final category is now always driven by your club DJ, Disney Jeopardy club DJ, which we get an email every week. We can vote on the category. Which will be in that slot. Tell me a little something about that. Where
yeah,
that
Club,
idea come from?
Club DJ, you know, the biggest thing I appreciate about Disney Jeopardy, obviously everyone who tunes in every week, but there's definitely a group who's more passionate about the show. And I want to kind of give them an opportunity to be involved more. There we go. You got your name on the end of
somebody.
You got your name on the end of the episode. And then, of course, yeah, you do get to help pick a category every week. I wanted to kind of give the most passionate viewers the opportunity to influence the show. And now I'm even doing it more so for the future. Now, if you go to DisneyJeopardy.com, I have a clue page, which allows really anybody, but you do check off if you're a Club DJ member, just to kind of get your name to the top of the list immediately. Where you get to suggest a specific clue rather than just a category. So if you have a clue, a fun Disney fun fact, a trivia question that you want to see, you head over to that page on DisneyJeopardy.com. You select one of the, I'll have about three or four categories letting you know what's coming in the near future. And if you see a category that you like, for example, next episode is heavily influenced by dogs, because it's episode 101. So 101 Dalmatians will be a part of it. Other dog categories, you can head over to that. And then submit a dog related clue or whatever, or a Valentine's Day clue for an upcoming Valentine's Day episode, things like that. But yeah, Club DJ is all about kind of showcasing the most passionate fans and also giving them influence on the show's direction.
Yeah, in case anybody missed that, that's my name right
there. There we go, Joe.
Kind of a big deal.
You want me to put producer in front of that?
I think it'd be great.
I'll do that. I'll throw producer Joe right in front of that. Producer Joe Nelson. There we go.
Longer. No, it's got a good ring to it. So, I mean, unless you have anything else, I think that just about wraps us up here. It was a nice, chat about our favorite YouTube show.
Yeah, thank you so much. Thanks so much for having me, and really thanks for tuning in for as long. I know we've messaged back and forth, dating months back, maybe even a year at this point. I want to say.
Yep.
And so you and your wife have been tuning in for a long time and appreciate it so much. Wouldn't be up to episode 100 without people like you. So having so much fun doing it, and thanks for making it possible, really, and for being a club DJ member, of course.
Yes, of course. It's well, you can always find you insidethemagic.net, YouTube, Inside the Magic, and DisneyJeopardy.com.
Yes, sir. And go Rangers, once again, by the way. Tell your wife, go Rangers.
Yeah, I'll tell her that. No problem. And I always tease her, because whenever we're out in public, I'll go, go Ducks! And she'll hit me.
I like the Ducks.
In San Diego here, we have the feeder team for the Ducks. It's the San Diego Gulls.
The Gulls, so, that's right. I forgot about that. Yeah, that's right. I was in California last year, so I was able to go to a Kings game, go to a Ducks game, do all that, check out those arenas. Great time. Love Southern California. So, and I'll root for your Padres next year to get a little further.
They're in trouble, but yes.
Just a little bit.
A little drama.
Tough division.
If you ever come down to Anaheim or San Diego, you know, look me up. Definitely like to shake your hand one day.
Will do. Hey, thanks so much for having me, Joe. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, absolutely. Enjoy your day, and we'll be watching your show here very soon. It'll be back next Friday, right?
That's right. That's right. January 31st.
All right, Brian. Catch you later and talk soon. Thank you.
Have a good one. Thanks, Joe.
You too. Bye-bye now. Well, that was fun. What a nice guy. It really is a fun show. We hunker down. We watch it every Sunday night. It was kind of our tradition. It drops on Fridays, but we watch it on Sunday night. So our next show is going to be interesting. I know that I've already had Taco. He's the singer. 1982 is putting on the Ritz. And I've already had him on. Well, he's going to come back on, and we are going to do a taco cast or a taco salad, whatever you want to call it. And all these fans right here are going to be able to come on. It's going to be an open forum, be able to ask Taco anything. And we are going to have a good time. Bring them all on one by one. And then at the end, bring them all in and have a big Brady Bunch style photo. And it'll be a good time. So that will be next week on the 4th. So you guys have yourself a good week. And thank you for tuning in. Once again, please subscribe if you have not already. And be safe. Catch you later. Bye-bye now.